Father, it is a privilege that you have called us. Father, Ephesians 3:14, you say that every family in earth is named after you. So what a privilege just to be here and to be called family, because you call us family. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can teach this word, because you are the teacher. And you've given us the Holy Spirit to show us who is the Father and who is Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, teach us this morning that we can listen, but not just listen, but obey and do what you require from us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're speaking about opening the prison doors. Sometimes you work out a sermon and then you call your wife and say, what does this look like? And then she says, it's not a sermon, it's a series. So I'm going to preach this sermon and I hope that it's going to turn into a series. So what I'm actually going to do is just lay a foundation. Where we are is still in Acts 19. So we started with Acts 19 and we spoke about baptism. There was the baptism of John. Then there was the water baptism, the Christian baptism. Well, the baptism of John is also a water baptism. But the difference is that the baptism of John was about repentance and turning to, challenging the people to turn from their evil ways and look at Jesus that was coming. So now Jesus has come. So now we have the Christian baptism. It started when John baptized Jesus. That's when the Christian baptism started. But I'm not going to go too much into it, but the crux of baptism is righteousness. When John baptized Jesus, he was already righteous. The difference with us is that we need to repent and accept Jesus. And then his righteousness come into us. Because there was a divine exchange that happened at the cross. The one who was righteous, Jesus, became sin for us. So that now we can become his righteousness in Christ Jesus. And that gives, I want to say, the legal right to be baptized. So John baptized, challenged the people, repent, follow after Jesus. Sadducees, Pharisees came and says, no, I'm not going to baptize you. First show works that follows repentance. Then now in Acts, the book of Acts, we have the Christian baptism, where we first become saved, and then because of that righteousness that is in us by Christ, we can be baptized. We also looked a little bit at the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we saw that Jesus is the only baptism, the only one that can baptize in the Holy Spirit. We saw that in verse 7 and verse 8 of this chapter. We spoke about that. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command that is given to us. It's not like I always thought, you are in the army you have these three stripes. I thought in the church you had three stripes. Be safe. Be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit. None of you grew up in that era. We have these stripes and we think, okay, we arrived. Don't have to do anything else. Not the way it works. So Ephesians challenges us and says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is what we did in verse 7 and 8, or verse 7. So we're going to start with verse 8 in Acts 19. Before I get there, you know I always have the maps. So in the middle of the screen you have Asia. I've got this fancy tool that I remember from my aircon days. I think this will work. There we go. Can you see that red dot? There's Asia. Nowadays Turkey. You have the whole of Europe over here. Ephesus was down here at the bottom. I think I've got another map, it's a little bit better from the Roman days. Because this was all Roman colonies, so So you have Ephesus over there. And so that's where we are in the book of Acts. We are in the city of Ephesus.
Your doinkie is too klein.
You can see the doinkie. Can you see Ephesus?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. That's the most important. So Ephesus was an amazing city. Doesn't exist anymore. Simple reason, there was a river that came down. You can see the river over there. And a lot of salt came down in that river. So it wasn't a harbor. Eventually it wasn't a harbor city anymore, so no trade was happening. So that was the end of Ephesus. But there is still some pillars. There's still an auditorium there, a 20,000 seater auditorium that Paul wanted to preach in, but his disciples said to him, "Nope, don't preach there. You're not going to make it." So don't want to talk too much about Ephesus. It was known for its idolatry. There was a big temple there, Temple of Diana. The same architect that designed that temple also designed Alexandria. Alexandria is about 20 kilometers west of current day Cairo. It was a massive city. And the same architect that designed Alexandria, the second biggest city in the world at the time, designed this Temple of Diana. We're going to get to the Temple of Diana a little bit later in the chapter, not this morning. Like I said, we're just going to lay a foundation this morning. We've done this before. Acts 26, verse 14. "And when he had all fallen to the ground," when we had all fallen to the ground. So Paul is on his way to Damascus. This is the road to Damascus. He's persecuting people of the way. Which way? The way of Jesus. We said repentance is very simply, if I walk in my way, repentance is turning around against my way and walking in the direction of Jesus' way, not going back. That's repentance. So, "And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" He was not persecuting Jesus, he was persecuting the new Christians. This is how Jesus feels about us persecuting each other, or me just talking against eating. This is how Jesus takes it personally. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles," and this is important, "to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith." So Jesus called Paul to minister to the Gentiles. The Gentiles is all the nations that are not Jewish. One Jewish nation, all the other nations is the Gentiles. We fall under the Gentiles. So Jesus called Paul to work under the Gentiles. He called Peter to work under the Jews. And this is his instruction. "I want you to turn them from darkness to light." It's like opening those prison doors. "I want you to release them from the power of Satan." Therefore, our topic, opening the prison doors. So we've done this scripture before. It's a recurring theme in Acts. That the God, Ephesians 1 verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." So we have this amazing capability, which is not a good capability, that Jesus comes and opens our eyes. We become saved, he opens our eyes, our spiritual eyes. We've got eyes here. We've got eyes here that can see. Our spiritual eyes can see. what happens is that they close eventually, because we start looking at everything that is not Jesus. A simple example that we all know, I've used it many times, is when Jesus came on the storm, walking on the water towards the boat that the disciples were in. They were so afraid. Xavier, I think you would have been afraid as well of those storms on the Sea of Galilee. They become big. And Peter said, "If it is you, Lord, call me." Jesus said, "Come." Peter climbed out. The other disciples were saying, "You're going to die. You're going to drown. Don't do it." He climbed out and he walked towards Jesus. And as he was looking into Jesus' eyes, or just looking at him, I don't know if he could see his eyes at that distance, but just looking at Jesus, there was faith. And he could walk on the water. It's exactly how we walk on the water every day. We walk on our circumstances by looking at Jesus. It sounds so childlike and maybe childish, but that's the only way. Jesus is after our childlikeness, to just look at him so that we can walk on the water. What happened when he looked away? When his eyes was not on Jesus anymore, he saw the waves and he started sinking until Jesus grabbed him. So our eyes have a tendency to become closed, our spiritual eyes, when we look at all the stuff in this world that is not Jesus. That's why Paul prays this prayer. He prays it for Christians. This is not a prayer for unbelievers. Okay, let's get to where we left off the last time. So my first point, only got 5 points, so hang in there. First point, speaking evil of the way. We spoke a little bit about the way. And he entered the synagogue, this is Paul, and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. So if there's a kingdom of God, there's another kingdom that is not of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, what did Paul do? He withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So there was a lot of philosophy and science in the city of Ephesus, and this hall of Tyrannus was like a university, it was like a training hall, where people from all of Asia, I showed you that province, all of Asia, Asia Minor they call it, all of Asia Minor came to this hall. And they were taught philosophy, science, whatever Plato, Socrates, whatever was taught at the time, they learned it there. And because it was hot, they would take siesta at 2 o'clock. And it was a good time for Paul to come in with his disciples and to start teaching. And because the people were already there from Asia Minor, some of them stayed, some didn't go and sleep, but some stayed and they heard the word. It was a fantastic strategy of Jesus that he gave to Paul to reach the whole province for the word of God. And he could do this for about 2 years. I think all in all, Paul was 3 years in Ephesus. So what are we talking about? They started speaking evil of the way. They started talking against the new believers. Remember, the synagogue is a powerhouse. These guys have got so much authority, so much power in the synagogue. So when Jesus' gospel come in, his gospel is of an upside down kingdom. Jesus was king with his Father. Then he became man. He emptied himself of all glory. He became man. He became a servant to us. That's an upside down kingdom. And now Paul is preaching this kingdom. That's not what they want to hear. It strips them of all their power and authority. James 3 verse 7 says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil. This is the ESV. Maybe your Bible is a little bit different. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father. With it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. You understand why Paul left the synagogue? Because there was curses coming out of their mouth towards the new believers. He rather went to a place, I think it was next door to the synagogue, the Hall of Tyrannus, where they could preach the gospel unhindered. This is a lesson for us to check what is coming out of our mouth. I listen to myself, not always, but God reminds me. What comes out of this mouth is part of a root deeper in. If anger is coming out there, I can go and look somewhere there is a root of anger, and I need to deal with that hurt so that that hurt can get healed, so that the anger can stop. So when anger comes out, I speak curses. When Jesus comes out, I speak blessing. It's like packets, full of power, full of life. But then there's the other part where there's no life and no power. So James is challenging us. James is the brother of Jesus. He was the head of the Jerusalem church here. So he's challenging us to watch our words. So the next point is evil spirits come out of them. Acts 19 verse 11 to 12. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. So earlier I said that in Ephesians he says you must be filled with the Spirit. He says be filled with the Spirit. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. And how do we become full? We can't become full. Jesus fills us up. As we sit at Jesus' feet, as we look at him like Peter looked at him, Lord, I don't know how to solve this problem. Let's call it a money problem. Lord, I've got this debt and I can't seem to get rid of it. But you are higher than this debt. Lord, there's this storm in the sea. It's too much for me, but you are higher than the storm. He's always higher. He's the beginning, he's the end. Before this world was, Jesus was there, he's the Word. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus has always been there. He's always higher than our circumstances. So what I'm saying here, what's happening here, that the power of God was even transferring into handkerchiefs, and as those handkerchiefs touched, it's the overflow. It doesn't have to be an handkerchief. It can be oil. This is just oil. There's nothing special about this oil. But when I pray over this oil in the name of Jesus, the power of God flows into this oil. It's a transferable medium. Same with the handkerchiefs. It's just a transferable medium. Doesn't mean we must now start a new religion. Start praying for handkerchiefs and start handing them out. It's not what it says there. Yeah, it's not what it says. So, the overflow of the Spirit. Why does he say be filled with the Spirit? Peter, you are in a world that I'm not in. And the overflow of the Spirit touches that world. You guys are touching spaces that I'm not in. But the overflow of the Spirit in you touch that space and changes that space. I'm going to delve a little bit more into evil spirits. We're going to look what is evil spirits, where do they come from? But not too heavy, just foundation this morning. Okay. Mark 5 verse 2-5, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Acts 13, we've done this before. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, this is the island of Cyprus, it's in the Mediterranean, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar Jesus. He was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed him, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, you see there's that key again, filled with the Holy Spirit, not Paul, not us, it's not the gifts that we have, because we don't even have the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 says it's the Holy Spirit's gifts. He gives it to whoever he wants to. So he manages the gifts. Looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Look at this. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. And later on, not this morning, we'll start looking at authority in the spiritual world. And this is what happened here. When Paul said to that spirit, leave, spirit of divination, when he said, go, that spirit went, and suddenly the proconsul, his ears was open, his eyes opened up, and he believed. So where do they come from, evil spirits? Let us first read this. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. How you have fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. Speaking about Lucifer here, Satan or the devil. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Listen to the eyes, because they sound very familiar to me. I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But, this is God, but you are brought down to Sheol. Sheol is hell, Hades. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. So what happened here? God created this beautiful creature to worship him night and day. Satan was so beautiful. He was music. If he moved, if he talked, it was just music. That's God, how God created him inside. He cut him inside in all kind of musical instruments was inside him. So when he spoke, it was music, it was adoration towards God. But somewhere Satan changed. Over all the eons that he existed, he started changing. And he started saying, I. He rebelled. That rebellious spirit is what we are born with. That rebellious spirit is what needs to be dealt with. What we need to be saved from is that rebellious spirit. So the prison doors that needs to open is to free us from this rebellion that started with Satan. And it didn't just affect Satan. Revelations 12, verse 3 to 4. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, that's Satan, with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. This is what the woman wears. I don't know why Satan wears that, but that's normally for beauty. His tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. He affected a third of all the angels that God created. So with Satan, a third of the angels rebelled. It is those angels that fell from heaven because God threw them out. It's those angels that fell from heaven that became fallen angels or demons or spirits. The evil spirits, what we are talking about here. So that is where they came from. So we started with the kingdom of God, and we said if there is a kingdom of God, there's another kingdom, and that is the kingdom of darkness. And that is where Satan is in charge. God threw him way down in hell. That's where his throne is. See now, when Jesus died, where did he go? Jesus took our sin on him. Could he go with that sin to heaven? No, he went where we were supposed to go. He went into hell. He died, he was separated from God. He that was holy and righteous was split apart from his Father because he became sin. And he went to pay the price, he went to hell. And somewhere in that process, in that 3 days, after 3 days, God said, it's enough. It's been paid. And he sent his Holy Spirit in there. That's what Romans 8 says, that Jesus was quickened by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus walked towards that throne room of Satan and said, give me the keys of hell and death. And he stripped all Satan's authority. He made a mockery of him before all these demons that we're talking about. So God is in charge. We don't have to fear darkness. If I switch on this light and this room is dark, the light pushes away the darkness. Darkness cannot push away light. My last point, stand against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. Here you see the different layers of the kingdom of darkness. The rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. It doesn't say fight, run, war. He says stand. Therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Those are the curses. People speak sometimes willingly, sometimes they speak without knowledge. They speak curses over us. And how do we counter it? We counter it by taking up the shield of faith. What Peter did, looking at Jesus, that is the shield of faith. Lord, I trust you. This is bigger than me. This disappointment, this hurt, this pain, it's bigger than me. But I trust you. This is the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Again, he challenges us to pray in the Spirit. Be full of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus keeps on filling us with the Holy Spirit. So there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. We saw that in Acts 2 verse 1 to 4, when the Holy Spirit came and he fell on the disciples. But then we see Peter that was there at least twice again in Acts. So it happened 3 times. He's filled again with the Holy Spirit. So it's a continual infilling because we need that power for ministry. And all of us are ministers. Don't look at me. All of us are ministers. We all have received the ministry of reconciliation. So there where you are in your spaces, you minister there. Sometimes it means just be a letter, a life letter to Christ. You don't have to speak always, but live a life that is pleasing unto Christ. Some extra scriptures just to show us that it's not us doing it. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, his power, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of darkness is not easily going to let go of his people. So it, we need God's power to stand. Colossians 1 verse 28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy. We miss that. We think it's our energy. Even building a church, we think we're building the church. There's no way we can build a church. We'll build a religious system. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. And that's what John said to him, I will not baptize you. Go and repent and first start carrying fruit that follow that repentance. Then you come back. Then I will baptize you. That was even before Jesus. Struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Ephesians 4:20. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So I just want to recap. Opening the prison doors. People speak evil of the way. That's what Acts 19 teaches us. They sometimes not with knowledge, sometimes without knowledge, they criticize, they speak curses. It's not like they're working up a spell or something. It's just that our words has got power. We've got a spirit man inside of us. We are spirit, soul, and body. We were created in the likeness of the triune God, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So therefore, we are a tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body. So when we speak, there's power in what we say. We saw that evil spirits came out of them just by the touching of handkerchiefs. So it's nothing for a spirit to come out. It's a big thing when a spirit comes out by the help of another evil spirit. Then you're moving into an area that you're not supposed to be in. When there is authority by Jesus, that spirit comes out easily. That's what happened here. We've said where they're coming from. It's fallen angels. They haven't got power. What we didn't touch on there, but Satan works on deception. So he deceives people. And then they start speaking things negatively or criticizing, and that gives power to the enemy. But Jesus has stripped him from his power. And we said, how do we counter those curses? Pick up the shield of faith. We use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We get dressed in the armor. The armor is just Jesus Christ. We're dressing ourselves in Jesus Christ. And the last thing we said is just stand. Don't fight, don't run, don't work. Let his energy work within us. As we stand against the enemy, let his energy. Because then it will be for his glory. You realize the more things we do, the more we take glory for ourselves. The more things he does through us, the glory goes to him. Hey, let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that we could sit and listen to your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us. And you teach us together. Thank you that in your body here together, we are stronger because of you. Your fullness is more here, Lord, than when we are alone. So thank you for that. Thank you for, as we go out here, that we don't leave you behind, but you are with us always. And we give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen.